It's 6:41 and time for your KDNK local newscast for Thursday morning, October 6th. I'm Gavin Dahl live in our Carbondale studio. Basalt Middle School has received a $125,000 grant from the Colorado Health Foundation for new outdoor playground equipment. Basalt Middle wrote the grant with three possible phases in the hopes of being awarded at least a part of its dream playground. School officials are ecstatic because they were awarded the full amount of the grant request. It sounds like quite a fun playground, incorporating a parkour ropes course, a zip line, and an Orion space net, along with traditional tetherball, slides, and a swing set. Students were asked for input, and seven classes shared ideas for the proposal. Residents will be able to access it outside of school hours. There will be a meeting at the school on October 14th at 3:30 p.m. to go over the plans. It won't be installed until next summer. The director of the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade, Fiona Arnold, is visiting Garfield County today. At the invitation of the Garfield Clean Energy Partnership, the county government, all six municipalities, RAFTA, and CMC. She's here to see the role played by energy efficiency, local power, and alternative fuels in diversifying our regional economy. State Representative Bob Rankin, Republican, who represents us in the legislature, will also participate in the tour. This morning, they'll visit SunSense Solar in Carbondale, then ride in a van powered by compressed natural gas to Glenwood, before continuing on to Newcastle and Silt for visits with energy efficiency businesses. Then they'll check out alternative fuels projects in Rifle and participate in a roundtable discussion with locals at the Rifle Library starting at 12:15. For more info, call CLEAR 704-9200. The Aspen Center for Physics is celebrating the 2016 Nobel Prize in Physics recipients announced this week. All three physicists have strong ties to the Aspen Center for Physics. David Thewlis and Duncan Haldane are former trustees and general members of the board. They served actively between the early 80s until 2000 and were frequent visitors to the center dating back to the 1970s. The third recipient, John Michael Kosterlitz, was also a frequent participant in Aspen back in the day. For more information about the Aspen Center for Physics, see aspenphys.org. Tobacco giant Philip Morris has spent $10 million so far in Colorado this election cycle. Big Tobacco wants to convince voters to oppose Amendment 72, a tax increase on tobacco products to fund new public health efforts. Children's Hospital Colorado and the American Heart Association are among the groups spending money in favor of Amendment 72, but the no side has at least five times as much money. For all of KDNK's election coverage, go to our website, hover over News in the menu, and select 2016 election. The Cleveholm Manor, better known as the Redstone Castle, goes up for auction tomorrow, Friday, October 7th. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh took a trip back in time this week on what may have been one of the last public tours of the mansion.
The Redstone Waltz wafted through the rooms of the Redstone Castle one day this week, as if John Osgood's second wife, Alma, had just sat down at the grand piano to play. When I asked Sue McAvoy, the castle's caretaker, about the song, her face lit up as she recited a letter,
"Dear Sir,"
written in 1976 by a man whose father had lived in Redstone and was one of Osgood's miners. The man remembered Alma, also known as Lady Bountiful, giving out cakes and gifts at Christmas.
"One year, my sister, who had taken music in Illinois, received a sheet of music along with her gift and a request to learn to play it on her violin. She learned the piece good, but we never heard no more of it. Mrs. Osgood had wrote the piece herself, you see. I'm now nearly 85 years of age and am alone and feeling poorly. I'm sending you this musical page for whatever use you may see fit for it. God bless you. Sincerely yours, Carl P. Hunt."
McAvoy, dressed in white lace for the daily public tour and looking like she stepped out of the 1920s, has been working at the Redstone Castle for the past 17 years. But she says it really isn't a castle.
"Cleveholm Manor was the official name of it all throughout its early years, and the Osgoods themselves called it the mansion or the residence."
The 24,000-square-foot, 42-room mansion was built in 1902 on 550 acres by coal and steel magnate John C. Osgood. He and his partners owned the coal mines up Coal Basin and had built the town of Redstone for the coke oven workers and their families. But the mansion, set on a hill above town, was an opulent playground for Osgood, his wives, and their friends. Osgood married three times. He had no children, and when he died in 1926 at the age of 75, he left everything to his third wife, Lucille.
She, of course, held on to it through the Depression, but she lost his coal company and was paying taxes on all of those 80-plus buildings that she inherited in the town of Redstone that were boarded up. So towards the mid-30s, she begins to salvage these buildings. She did end up parting with this in 1944 for $100,000.
After that, the place changed hands several times. It was a dude ranch in the 1940s.
Horseback riding, hiking, fishing, and square dancing.
In 1957, Frank Kissler, a developer and oil man, bought it with the idea of putting in a golf course and ski area.
Frank thought he could compete with Aspen and bring the Winter Olympics to Marble and Redstone. But he died 3 years later.
Okay, so he dies in 1960.
Yes.
And then what happens?
Well, his 29 partners run both this and the Redstone Inn into the ground. In the early 70s, the castle is in danger of being torn down for condominiums. When a newspaper man from Grand Junction.
My name is Ken Johnson. In my youth, I had been a newspaper bundle delivery driver for the Daily Sentinel. And for many years, I passed the Redstone Castle and was always just kind of like, wow, what a great place. We were acquainted with a woman realtor in Grand Junction, Colorado. We heard that the castle was under contract and it was going to be bulldozed in order to have 1,500 condo units scattered on the castle property. And in November, on a very cold afternoon evening, we wandered through the castle with her, and I was stunned at the quality of the place and the beauty of the place. And I thought, God, what a crime to destroy this old place.
So he bought it in 1974 on a payment plan. Johnson was the publisher of the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel at the time. He refurbished the mansion and lived there in the mid-80s. But around 1989, he and his wife decided to sell.
Well, I wasn't necessarily the youngest guy in town when I bought it, and I didn't retain my youth any better than anybody else. And we thought it was time to put it in the hands of somebody else who would take it through the next generation.
Three times the mansion went into foreclosure, and three times it came back to Johnson. He finally sold it at auction in the year 2000 to Raleigh Demetrius, the current owner. McAvoy says the mansion and the surrounding 150 acres are now protected. The exterior is on the National Register of Historic Places, and Redstone is a National Historic Site.
There is an interior historic preservation easement on this building. Colorado Historic Foundation holds this preservation easement. There are 10 rooms on the interior of the castle that anything attached to the building, like the light fixtures, the wall cover, the flooring, there's Italian marble tile, so all of that's covered in the easement.
The mansion still has most of the original furniture and lots of art, including 9 originals by local artist Jack Roberts. Tiffany lamps give it a roaring 20s feel. Gold-leafed paper covers some of the walls, and oriental rugs adorn hardwood floors that creak with age and wear. It also smells like my grandmother. But underneath the grandeur is an aging infrastructure, still solid, but the mansion can cost up to $200,000 a year to maintain. The mansion, its outbuildings, gatehouse, hose house, carriage house, and stables is up for auction on Friday. The opening bid is $2 million. Sue McAvoy isn't sentimental about her home of the past two decades. She hopes the new owners will keep her on, but if not, she says it's been a great run.
I'm looking at it as passing the torch, and that whoever takes it on is going to do really what it needs. And I'm happy to see that.
For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
If Initiative 71 passes in November, Colorado ballots could be a lot shorter in future elections. Eric Galatis reports.
Colorado Ballot Initiative 71, a move to make it harder to change the state's constitution, has borne out the old adage that politics makes for strange bedfellows. John Caldera with the Libertarian Independence Institute says he's never seen a coalition like the one opposing the measure, which includes conservative and liberal economic, social justice, and conservation groups. He says the groups share concerns about good governance and hope to block what he calls a power grab by politicians and industry groups.
And it's obvious that they want the power structure to be through them, not through the people. If 71 passes, only very, very wealthy interests will ever be able to get something on the ballot again.
Proponents of 71 say they want to raise the bar for citizen-led amendments, which they say frequently conflict with existing law, by requiring signatures totaling at least 2% of residents in each of the state's 35 Senate districts. Opponents say that would make costs for future initiatives prohibitive and argue a single district or even a couple of neighborhoods in dense urban districts could effectively veto policies supported by the rest of the state. The new rules would also raise the voting threshold if an initiative makes the ballot from a simple majority to 55% of the vote. Caldera says he's concerned if Initiative 71 passes, it could be the last time Coloradans get to vote on amendments to the state constitution. He explains laws or statutes passed by policymakers are examples of how government tells we the people what to do, and says ballot initiatives are a critical tool for standing up to special interests.
But the Colorado Constitution is where we, the people, tell the government what to do. And sometimes those people in power don't like what we, the people, tell them they have to live by.
Without the state's current initiative process, Colorado would not have implemented campaign finance rules, term limits, transparency or ethics laws, or legalized marijuana. Groups opposing the measure include the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, the Colorado State Shooting Association, the Colorado Fiscal Institute, and Common Cause. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
On October 9th, Ben Carlson from Carbondale will join 25 other runners from around the world as one of the 2016 Global Heroes. They'll pound the pavement on the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota to compete in the Twin Cities Marathon and TC10 Mile events. He's one of 26 athletes who represent their country and medical condition. At age 36, Ben was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer with the aid of a lung navigation and biopsy system. This system helped detect and diagnose the cancer quickly so that he could receive the right treatment and return to a normal life. As an active runner for more than 15 years, running brings clarity to Ben's life and a sense of calm that replaces the constant worry of a stage 4 lung cancer diagnosis. Now 38, Ben is a passionate runner and advocate of dispelling the myth that lung cancer only affects smokers. He was diagnosed as a fit, non-smoking individual and couldn't understand how he was one to get lung cancer. Ben serves as a usurper to this myth by continuing to lead a healthy, active life in the face of medical adversity and by speaking out about his experiences. We're rooting for him. Thank you so much to everyone who re-upped their memberships for our membership drive this year. If you haven't had a chance to support KDNK in 2016, click over to our brand new website, kdnk.org, and get it done. Thanks so much, everybody. During the month of October, Aspen renters and homeowners can save up to $2,000 by taking advantage of cash rebates for winterizing homes through Aspen Energy Challenge's air sealing and insulation promotion. Once the work is completed, residents can look forward to hundreds of dollars in utility bill savings. The average home has enough cracks and leaks to equal leaving a window open for an entire day. Air that leaks through your home's envelope, the outer walls, windows, doors, and other openings, wastes energy, increases utility costs, and makes for a drafty home. By sealing air leaks and insulating, you'll get the most comfort out of each dollar you spend on heating. The promotion is available to Aspen residents during the month of October. Learn how to participate by visiting AspenEnergyChallenge.com. For income-qualified households in the Roaring Fork Valley earning 80% of the average median income or less, the CARE program offers energy efficiency upgrades to your home at no cost to the renter or homeowner. Apply today to see if you qualify for new storm windows, appliances, LED bulbs, furnace tune-ups, and more. Find out more at energyoutreach.org. If you live in Garfield County, call CLEAR at 704-9200. In Pitkin or Eagle County, call CORE at 925-9775. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Garfield County Sheriff Lou Valario says that Colorado law does not require physical contact as a minimum standard to make a mandatory arrest. Domestic violence means an act of violence upon a person with whom the suspect has been involved in an intimate relationship. It can also be just a threatened act of violence. Domestic violence also includes any other crime used as a method of coercion, control, punishment, intimidation, or revenge.